from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. Good morning, everybody. Hello. It's the Fan Morning Show. Ray Fittipaldo joins us now, Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette, and he's brought to us by Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG. Build on relationships, credibility, and integrity, LGKG.com. Ray, it's over. No more camp. I guess you're probably happy because you were driving up two ways, right? You were driving there, and then you were coming home, and you weren't staying out there, right?
Yeah, well, first off, Adam, when you said it's over, I thought you were talking about the Brandon Ayuk situation, which I also hope is over soon as well. But, I'm happy. Camp is over. We got the big joint scrimmage with the Bills tomorrow, so no more driving for me. At least not that far.
Right. Is that scrimmage tomorrow? That's closed, right? But you'll be able to go, right?
It's closed to the public, but my understanding is, you know, it's going to be like a COVID practice for the media. I think we can kind of like roam around the stadium and watch practice. Not exactly sure what we're going to be able to report just yet. Those details haven't been ironed out yet between the Bills and the Steelers, but media will be able to watch it.
So from everything that you've gathered from 2.5 weeks of training camp, and now there's going to be a joint practice, they're going to see, you know, some live action against a different team in a practice setting. What drill are you going to be focusing on the most, knowing what you know now about each position for the Steelers and wanting to see them go against the Bills in a different drill?
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably say two. You know, I want to see the quarterbacks go against different defensive backs because I think, you know, both parties kind of get a feel for each other. So, you know, Justin Fields and, you know, Russ Wilson has been ramping up his activity, so it'll be good to see him go against another opponent. And it's a shame that Troy Fa'atanu is injured, but I still want to watch Broderick Jones and Dan Moore against the Bills' edge rushers. And the interior, too. Nate Herbig and Zach Frazier are battling it out. So, you know, that'll be good competition when they go one-on-ones, O-line, D-line.
I know what your colleague Jerry Dulek reported the other day, and we discussed it at length yesterday. Do you really think it's a battle at left tackle between Dan Moore and Broderick Jones?
Well, you know, I kind of think they just want to, you know, much like they've been doing, I think they want to give some deference to Dan Moore because he's been, you know, he's been a 3-year starter and he stepped up for them when he was a rookie. And, you know, he's been a guy that they've leaned on. So I think it was going to play out before the season started that Broderick would have won that job. I got to be honest with you now, I don't know how this injury plays into their plans there. You know, now Broderick has to play on the right side. you know, assuming – I'm assuming that. I don't think they're going to give Broderick reps on the left side as long as Troy is out. So Broderick always tells me that he doesn't need much time. You know, it's a natural thing for him. But, you know, you would think they would want to get him in there and settled at left tackle for at least 2 weeks before they throw him out there in a regular season game. So we'll see how that goes. I'm assuming today at St. Vincent, it's pretty much going to be a walkthrough. So, you know, I don't know how much work Broderick would get on the left or the right, but I am interested to see on Saturday and then next week before the Lions game, do they flop Broderick? Do they give him some reps on the left side, or do they just leave him on the right side when Troy is out?
Ray, is Roman Wilson back practicing this week? And if he isn't, or he's in a limited capacity, is that concerning?
He was in street clothes on Monday. I haven't really seen him do much. You know, he's probably rehabbing up inside and, you know, not on the field. So I don't exactly know where he is right now. But, you know, if he's not out there for that last preseason game, Dorn, it's going to be hard for him to get a helmet on Sundays, I think. You know, it's one thing for a vet to miss time like Cordarrelle Patterson did, and, you know, now they're working him back in. He's got familiarity with Arthur Smith and his offense. It's quite another for a rookie receiver to miss that much time and then to come back and to have a role initially with this team. So I still think they have high hopes for Roman, but I think this injury definitely set him back a bit.
Ray Fittipaldo with us here on the Fan Morning Show, our Steelers insider from the Post-Gazette. Ray, a two-parter here. A, do you think Brandon Ayuk just winds up being a 49er? And if the answer to question A is yes, do you think then the Steelers enter the season just status quo with the wide receiver unit they have?
Yes, I think they would. I know people want to tie them to different receivers who have contract situations, but I think this Ayuk one was the one that was most likely to happen really since March. And if it doesn't happen now, I think they probably would be content to go into the season with the guys they have. To me, guys, the Steelers have had their offer on the table. They're very comfortable with it, and they're just waiting on the 49ers. It's a holding pattern for the Steelers. I know there was a new report yesterday that the 49ers and Ayuk were closed. To me, that's a very strange way for the 49ers eventually to get to that number.
Basically, yeah.
piss them off for 6 months and then cave at the last minute. I don't know what that's all about, but that would come out of left field. That would surprise me. I still think the Steelers are obviously the favorites here. But, yeah, if it turns out the 49ers get him, that is John Lynch. That's a very, very strange ploy for him to do.
Yeah, it's like it reminds me of Catholic grade school when instead of being able to walk into the classroom across the hall, just point A to point B, you would have to walk all the way around the walls of the hall. You would have to walk 700 feet to walk 5 feet. That's how that would feel for John Lynch. Okay, you say you still think the Steelers are the favorite. Let's say it doesn't happen, and you've said that it's basically your pot committed to Ayuk or nothing. If you don't get Ayuk, how do you then evaluate Omar Khan's offseason, missing out on this guy that you've been targeting for so long?
Yeah, I know people are going to point to that Deontay Johnson trade and say, hey, why did you get rid of a guy who can help you? But I just don't feel like they believe that they could have Deontay Johnson and George Pickens on the same team, two guys who, you know, caused him issues last year. I really think that play in Cincinnati was kind of like the final straw for a lot of people inside that building when he quit on that play. So they didn't feel like they can go forward with him. They got a starting corner in return, and, you know, they just wanted to turn the page there. So, they did get Roman Wilson in the third round. It's not exactly starter territory, so I'm sure he would be criticized. But listen, if Arthur Smith gets off to a good start and he can make it work with Pat Freiermuth and Van Jefferson and Scotty Miller and Calvin Austin, a lot of people will forget about it. But if it goes the other way, yeah, then sure, he's going to get his share of criticism.
Will Zach Frazier start Saturday?
Based on what I've seen, no, Dorn. Nate Herbig is still out there with the ones in most of the team periods. Zach is working in here and there. I do think you could see a situation where, you know, Zach would get thrown into the mix again. Like if Justin plays, we still don't know about Russ, but let's say Justin plays four series instead of three this week. I think maybe you could see 2-2 with Herbig and with Frazier. But based on what I've seen, they're not pushing Herbig aside just yet.
And just how much are they pushing Russ towards being the guy, you think?
I don't know. I don't know why it's such a big mystery. You would think they would be able to tell us, you know, if he's going to start or not. You know, it's kind of the same with in terms of the reps. It's kind of the same. It's you know, Russ for two, Justin for two. They're kind of going back and forth there. He's still not full go. You know, what I consider full go is Russ runs all the reps with the ones. Justin does all the reps with the twos. We have yet to see that. So I'm not really confident that Russ is going to start on Saturday, but we'll see. I think Mike is going to tell us today or tomorrow.
Ray, we appreciate your time. Your reporting, as always. Enjoy your final day at La Trobe until next year.
All right, guys. See you next week.
Take it easy.
Thanks, Ray.
Ray Fittipaldo, a lot to react to there from Ray, and we will do that coming up in the next segment. I want to revisit that conversation we were having about Tomlin and the quarterbacks from earlier on in the show. You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options, from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey. Yeah.
Ray Fittipaldo joined us in the last segment, and we love Ray Fittipaldo. And he said he still thinks in his mind the Steelers are the favorite to land Brandon Ayuk. This on the heels of Mike Garofalo of NFL Network yesterday in the evening saying that Ayuk has always wanted to stay a 49er. It's just about getting the right deal in place. And then Antonio Brown said that Ayuk wants to be a Steeler, and AB tweeted that his source is Brandon Ayuk. So our Fan Morning Show Twitter poll is brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. Who do you trust more, Antonio Brown or Mike Garofalo?
Garofalo?
Oh, dang, man. I got caught in between on that one. Because I've called him Garofalo and Garofalo, and I got caught right in between.
Well, I'm caught in between both the sources.
I am, too, and that's what I wanted to ask you. First of all, 70% of people voting are saying they trust Antonio Brown more, which I think is only because AB is reporting the thing that they want to hear.
But true.
AB says Ayuk wants to be here, so, oh, we better believe him, because why would anybody else want to believe Antonio Brown?
I just don't. It's not like I don't believe Garofalo. Or, see, look, I messed it up.
Mike from the NFL Network.
Mike from the NFL Network, because I think this is the last attempt ploy to get the Steelers to up their return.
Or at the very least, just make it look like they've tried their darndest, so yes, when their fans are underwhelmed by the deal, they can say, hey, we gave it the old college try. I could see that. Ray says he thinks the Steelers are the favorite. We had Mark Caboli telling us yesterday he thought that it was going to go down, and he had a good source on that, but he's not chasing it because he's unemployed. And I don't think anybody knows. And when I say that, I mean anybody. I don't think Omar Khan knows. I don't think Art Rooney knows. I don't think Mike Tomlin knows. I don't think John Lynch knows. I don't think Kyle Shanahan knows. I don't think Brandon Ayuk knows. I think Brandon Ayuk is doing what a lot of people do when given a difficult decision in their life. He's thinking about it, and I don't think he knows. I think he wants to be in Pittsburgh. I think he also wants to be in San Francisco. I would prefer to stay in San Francisco if I were him.
Mm-hmm.
Because you go to the Super Bowl last year.
Right.
If the monies are equal or close to equal, I would stay in San Francisco. But I think he's truly conflicted. If he knew, it would be done. If he knew, hey, San Fran, I'm not doing it. Like, we're done. He'd be a Steeler. So he, I think, is still waffling about this decision. Thus, any reporting on it now, at this point, I just think you disregard and you just wait and see. Because I don't think even he knows, honestly.
No. Because it's out of his hands, kind of, in a way. I mean, it's what San Francisco is. San Francisco is the one that is dragging their feet, like the organization, because they aren't getting the return that they actually want. And it's two separate deals going on. They're getting the deal for them, and then they're, you know, the other deal with Ayuk and going to the Steelers. I think that is done. That has been done. The terms have been done on that, what the Steelers would give to Ayuk, and Ayuk is like, all right, cool. But I think San Francisco's like, I think we can get a little bit more in return.
It's just so stupid, right? Isn't it dumb?
I mean, but that's just how those teams operate. That's how agents operate. Man, I was a seventh round pick. I was like one of the last picks of the draft, and I was the last person to sign my rookie year. This has nothing to do with me. I get it, but like, it's in the realm of what we're talking about. I was the last person to sign on my team because of $20. My agent wanted 20 more bucks. Seriously, like, that's just how things go. Like, they're like, no, it's just principle. Principle, we want.
Oh,
we want what we want.
I don't think it's stupid from his agent standpoint or his standpoint. What I'm wondering is, it was reported that they offered him 26. Is 28 going to do it? Like, so what are we, like, you want him for 26, but you don't want him for 28? What? Why?
But even if they're at 28, it's not what he wants. Like, they're kind of like giving him more than what he's, you know, what they previously put on the table, but I don't think that even 28 is what he wants unless it's with the Steelers.
Do you think he wants more from them?
Yes.
Than he originally wanted from them because they've hurt his feelings? I could see that. I could see that. You didn't value me this entire process. Oh, and now you don't want to be backed against the wall? Well, I could
have gone up.
Yeah, I could have done it for 28. Now I need 30. I could see that. But who knows? Who knows? All I know is they need him. They need him, and they have made that very clear that they need him.
Who?
The Steelers. I think San Francisco needs him less.
Less.
Yeah, because of scheme and because of the other playmakers they have, the Steelers need him. And I'm a big Arthur Smith believer and a Russell Wilson truther, but I'm not a Van Jefferson believer as a number two. Three? Yeah. Four? Awesome. As a two? No. They need him, and they've now the whole world knows. So you walk into this season, ain't nobody quaking about that Steelers wide receiver core because they don't like it themselves.
Would you give in if you're Omar Khan just to get it done? Like, if you were like, all right, we offered a second and a third, but they really want a first. Would you at this point, like, all right, we need him. Would you give in at this point just to get it done so you can move on? And just be like, we'll figure it out.
I don't even know if it's about that.
You don't think?
I
think it's about compensation for sure. like what San Francisco isn't satisfied. You don't think it's about that?
I think it's about Ayuk having his feelings hurt, but really actually wanting to stay there and having to fight that battle in his head. In
so you
his
think
heart.
It's more Ayuk than the 49ers?
Yeah,
right now.
I think if Ayuk told the 49ers straight up, I don't like it's over now. Like your last offer, I'm not taking it. There's nothing you can do. I think he'd be a Steeler.
Huh.
I think he is still undecided.
Okay,
but that's just an educated guess, and people can argue whether or not it's educated because it's me. But that's what I think.
I can see that.
I don't think he'd have to sign off though if the Steelers said, "All right, San Fran, here's a first round pick." I don't think he'd have to sign off on it.
No.
I think it would just get done because it sounds like the terms of the agreement are done. I do wonder if it's a guaranteed money thing going on with San Fran. I don't know. And now I've punted on the Mike Tomlin thing again. The conversation that we had earlier that I wanted to have better, and now we haven't had it at all. And perhaps we can have it with Doug. I would like to have it with Doug.
Yeah.
Doug Whaley going to join us from 9 o'clock until 10. Up next is John Wehner. What the hell do we ask Wehner, man? You can't fix it. You can't. You're done. So this will be fun.
Yeah.
We got John Wehner coming up next, and Wehner is brought to us by Allegiant Federal Community Credit Union. Shape your future. Visit AllegiantFCU.org. John Wehner is brought to us by Gutter Helmet. Try the maintenance-free gutter solution from Gutter Helmet. Call 888-5-HELMET for a free estimate. And The Rock with us on the horn right now. The Pirates in the midst of a 9-game losing streak. Wehner, what would you ask yourself if you were in my position, man? Because there are so many questions and right now not a lot of answers for one Derek Shelton.
What would you ask me is how did this happen, I guess.
John, how did this happen, man?
Well, they've played a couple of good teams, and they haven't played good baseball against a couple of good teams. You don't play good baseball against a couple of good teams, you lose 9 straight, and you know, you can point out a lot of different factors. And, you know, I think teams go through these stretches to where you pitch good, you don't hit. You hit good, you don't pitch. And, you know, and then you make miscues on defense or on the bases or, you know, they just haven't played good enough baseball. You know, they haven't created enough opportunities. And, you know, when they've had leads, they haven't been able to close them. And that's unfortunate. But, you know, it's just, I guess, a snowball effect where everybody's not holding their own when they need to hold their own. So, and then you got teams that find ways to win. Teams that, you know, the Diamondbacks, for instance, you know, they got to the World Series because they found ways to win. And the Padres are finding ways to win. And they have a really talented team with a lot of good pitching. And we don't have that kind of talent. And you got to play perfect baseball. We've been far from perfect.
John, I think it's fair to assume that Derek Shelton's under some pressure right now. You can just feel it. But as a player, can you sense the pressure of a manager, and could that affect your performance on the field? I mean, we obviously know the errors that have taken place even last night with O'Neill Cruz, and then there was a situation with Rowdy Tellez not running the bases at full speed. Whenever he could have got to second, he was just trotting around the bases. Like, could the pressure of Derek Shelton kind of give off the sense that this team doesn't have a high level production?
I don't think there's any excuses for not running hard or playing hard. There's no excuses for not catching a ball that's thrown right at you. So whether there's pressure or no pressure, you know, it's baseball, and it's baseball at the highest level. And there are no excuses for not running hard. Whether you're winning 20 in a row or losing 20 in a row, whether there's pressure on you or there's no pressure on you, there's no excuses for that. I'm sorry. And we've seen a ball off the wall last week, the center field wall, where we don't get a double out of it. I'm sorry, but that, you know, when you talk about, and they're, you know, they're one run away, you know, they've lost, I guess, seven of the last 11 games they've won. They've lost by one run. Well, to make up that one run, you got to play hard. You got to make opportunities. You don't give up on opportunities. You know, instead of being on second, you're on first. Instead of being on second, you're out. And so when you keep losing one run games and you run into outs or you don't take advantage of opportunities, you're going to lose one run games. You know, if you can't make a play defensively, you're going to lose one run games. And that's just the matter of the fact. I don't pressure? I mean, yeah, there's pressure on players. I mean, there's pressure on players to stay in the big leagues. There's pressure on players to get another contract. Okay, and how they deal with that pressure is, you know, whether they stay in the big leagues or get another contract. And so, you know, as far as pressure on Derek Shelton, I mean, he doesn't show it. He comes in and he's the same every day. Can he be held accountable? Yeah, and so can the coaches, and so could the front office, and so can the players. Everybody's going to be held accountable for this. You know, do you have enough? Do you have as much talent as the Dodgers and the Padres and the Diamondbacks? Probably not, and that's a lot to do with payroll and other things. But the talent that you do have and the personnel that you do have, you want to get the best out of that personnel. And do we always get the best? No, we don't always get the best. And that, to me, is the thing that I look at probably, and I get more frustrated with than anything else, is the effort there consistently. Is it there 100% of the time? And mm-hmm. at times it's not. And to me, you lose one-run games because you don't do everything you can to score another run or another two runs. And you know, and if you don't catch the ball, you know, some of it's execution, some of it's the other team's really good, and they come through in big situations like we saw in that homestand. Other times it's look in the mirror, and did I do everything I could to win that game?
Do you sacrifice a live chicken or something? I mean, how do you get out of this? Because when Shelton's come on and he said, you need a break too. Like at some point you need a break just to bust out of it, because I would imagine that, you know, not only are you losing for all the little reasons that you're talking about, John, but then confidence has to become a massive issue.
Well, yeah, that's all part of it. When you're looking for breaks instead of making your own breaks, you know, those breaks might not come to you. But, yeah, there's situations where, you know, Brian Reynolds gets what looks like a game-tying hit, maybe more, and they make a nice play. Okay, so you didn't get that break, but the center fielder for San Diego was aggressive, got a good jump, was prepared, made a good play, and you didn't get a break because he made a good play. I mean, if you're waiting for luck, luck's not going to luck. It does play a role at certain times, you know. But, you know, all you could do is go out there and do the best you can every night. You prepare yourself to make plays. You prepare yourself to get hits. You prepare yourself to make pitches, to get outs, you know. You try to put yourself as a manager, you know, you put your players in a position to win ball games, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But that pressure might mount when you're losing 9 in a row or 10 of 11, and you might try to be too fine making that pitch, or you might try to do too much with a bat in your hand, and then that's the pressure that can affect your performance. But as far as, you know, playing hard and being prepared, that's another thing. And I think that really shows up when you're in a rut like this. When you don't see them catch a ball or run the bases hard, I think it amplifies everything. If you win that game, nobody's talking about them not hustling or not catching a ball, you know. But, you know, you got to go out there and prepare yourself to go win a ball game and do everything you can to go win a ball game. And you know, like I said, you might put added pressure on yourself because you're in a rut, but you just got to keep grinding and do what you can to help the team win.
So just hearing you correctly, you do not sacrifice a live chicken.
You know, I've said this on the air before. I mean, I don't know how well that would go with PETA and the folks, but
good point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes you have to go out and have a few extra beers, especially with a day game. You know, go in there and, you know, get loose. Be loose. You know, get loose next day.
You guys would do that, John? A couple pops in the morning?
Not in the morning. Well, yeah, in the wee hours of the morning, but then you go to sleep, and then you come up, and you maybe feel a little more relaxed. But, yeah, that's gone off a few times.
The wee hours in the morning, wee like hours. 3 a.m.?
Yeah, when we wake up.
Yeah. I wouldn't suggest doing it before a game, though.
No, thank you, John.
I've been wanting to say, too, let's get on your boss. Let's get the SPAC Invitational going. We got to put a little pressure on him to get a little outing out at Butler. We got to get on SPAC.
Let's do it.
Let's make it public. Make it public. I've got a few feelers out there, and I've got nothing. I got crickets.
All right, we'll get on it ASAP. Definitely.
All right.
Thank you, Rock. See you. A lot to react to there from John Wehner.
I got a guy like that who lived and breathed and made his career. Is he still?
He's still there. The hell out of here, John. He was a heart and soul guy. Is what you're talking about, though.
Yeah, I mean that. That stuff, the little stuff that he's talking about, really irks somebody like that.
Play defense, run hard, make the routine plays.
That's how teams win. Like, if you're a good team and you're trying to win. Like, you do those things. Those things, you don't even think about those things, running hard, effort. If you're a good team, those things don't even come into question. Well, and now we're questioning that. That really irks somebody like John Wehner, who lived and breathed and made his career off of doing stuff like that.
Yeah, I think we get into that a little bit more next before Doug comes on at 9 o'clock, because he said there's no excuse for it, and I agree. But I don't know how you can't blame the manager a little bit, too. So,
Kallis, could you feel the animation from John Wehner? Like, I mean, I couldn't imagine watching that game and playing the way he did and having the grit that he did and seeing the little things just go by the wayside for some players, knowing that, you know, you are in a rut, you are on a 9-game or at the time 8-game losing streak, but to do the little things and to not do the little things, like, that has to just rub guys like him the wrong way in the worst way.
I heard it in his voice, and that's a tone that I don't really hear him kind of set. And I could kind of feel that, and it makes sense. I mean, there's just, when you have these games like this, it's the better team usually does things more perfectly, or does things, you know, better, or, you know, more correct. They make the less mistakes. And so that's really what the Pirates have done, though. I mean, you saw yesterday O'Neal Cruz booted a couple balls, missed a throw, and just those little things, they add up. And when you don't execute, you lose the close games. And that's how he illustrated it, and that's correct.
See, like, for me, Crowley, like, whenever you see those things and they're very evident, and from multiple players with, like, errors and effort, things of that nature, like, there's no coming back from that. Like, even if you are seven, okay, even if you are five and you see something like that, like, and you still mathematically are in the hunt, as we talked about yesterday, you have those things going on right now. Whenever you need games in the worst way, like, there's no coming back. Like, they are cashed out. That's just me. That's not John Wehner. That's not you. That's not Derek Shelton, what he said to Starkey yesterday. That is my observation, that these guys are most of these guys are cashed out and are looking forward to the offseason.
You need to play harder because you're the Pirates. You just do.
All the time.
You're not more talented than the Dodgers. You're not more talented than the Padres. You're not more talented than Houston. You're not more talented than Arizona. You're not. You're not going to be, in all likelihood. You can have good players, and your starting rotation's good. Okay, but when you pay what you do, and it's a small market thing, you have to find little things in the margins, and on the field those things are take the extra base, be smart base running, make the routine plays, as Mike Tomlin says routinely, and they don't. And real quick, the 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Wehner put them on blast as much as Wehner's going to in that last segment. Here's what Derek Shelton sounded like yesterday.
I think there's a state of we need to catch a break. I mean, it's one of those situations where we haven't played bad baseball. You know, we've lost, I think, since the break, 9 one-run games. We've lost during this stretch of the 8, I think we've lost 6 one-run games. We're not finishing games or making the big play to be able to get us to a victory right now. And, yeah, it's extremely frustrating.
Listen, John Wehner, he's going to tell the truth as much as he possibly can. He's not a guy that's just going to dance around certain things. And he told what he sees and what he feels. And what that is the total opposite of what we just heard.
It's a complete 180.
Total opposite.
Wehner saying it's unacceptable for Rowdy Tellez to not be on second base. It's unacceptable for O'Neal Cruz to get thrown out, whatever it was, a week ago at second base when he hits a ball off the wall. It's unacceptable for the mental lapses and errors to come into the field with these guys. And we're talking about even Brian De La Cruz. I mean, he's bobbling balls out there and throwing to the wrong cutoff guy and just all that kind of stuff.
And the luck thing, too. Like, that, creating your luck and then, you know, having bad luck.
That drives me
nuts.
Crazy.
Nuts.
It can't be, we need a break. The message to the team, I would hope, is different than what he told Starkey there. We got to go earn a damn break. We got to go out there and we got to bust our hump for that inch, right? You can't have that be the explanation from the manager. And to Starkey's credit, he said, with all due respect, you've lost 8 games in a row and you're going to tell me you're not playing bad baseball? How can Shelton say that with a straight face? We're not playing bad baseball. I don't care if you lose by 1 or 100, you lost. And actually, the little things are going to matter more when you're playing in one-run games. Duh! I just dropped a duh on him there. I want to hear from the manager of the baseball team what we heard from John Wehner there.
Yep.
I would want Wehner to be like, well, yeah, they could use a break every now and again, and I'd want Shelty to say it's unacceptable, some of these things that are happening to us, and you're not getting that. You're not. You're not playing good baseball. You're not coming close to playing good baseball. G1 Bay can't play good baseball. Key Brian Hay doesn't play good baseball at the plate. None of these guys are playing good baseball, with the exception, really, of Andrew McCutchen, and then, you know, Brian Reynolds, I think, gets a little bit of a pass. But O'Neill Cruz is supposed to be a star, and he's got 23 errors on the year. And that kind of stuff can't be acceptable. And when if it's just O'Neill, okay, that's not great. Now you got another Rowdy Tellez doing it. Like, it's just unacceptable. And I don't know if this is fair or foul, but Key Brian Hayes a couple years ago with the seeds.
Yep.
Where he's putting this. You got Rodolfo Castro and a phone falling out of his pocket. Those things, in addition to now these things, are the mark of a team that isn't buttoned up.
Right. Not focused.
When Tomlin Steelers commit penalties and turn the football over, it always gets pointed back to the head coach. And while I understand Wehner wouldn't go so far as to put it on the manager, in fact, he said it's unacceptable for these players to do these kinds of things, and there's no excuse for that. When it's more than one guy and it's repeatable and it's spanned years, I don't know how you can't point it at the head man.
Right.
At the manager. You want to win one-run games? Do the little things well. Lay a bunt down! How many games would they have won if they could have laid a bunt down?
Right.
The damn Dodgers!
The damn Dodgers. You're not the damn Dodgers.
All right. We're still in limbo with Aiyuk because that's just where we've been. Yet these reports come out that are the same reports that we've had, and the reporters are making them seem like they're new reports. Let's get a general manager in here to talk about all this Aiyuk stuff. There's a million different Steelers angles we want to talk to Doug Whaley about. We have the opportunity to do that for the next hour. And Doug is brought to us by Tri-State Office Furniture, the best in the business. Right now, fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevrolet. The Chevy summer drive continues at Sun Chevrolet. Up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms and conditions at sunchevy.com. Today, high 83.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.